He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, Michael, welcome to the show.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks for having me on. Should be fun.
So, if you can remember, tell me about the first time you saw someone bend the bar of steel.
Oh, I think the first time I really saw it, the thing that captured my eye was probably like those old school World's Strongest Man competitions. And you see like these old ones like in the early 80s and 70s, bar bending was one of those feats. And they had all the towels and stuff and they're bending it on there. And I thought, oh, that's really cool. And just that whole competition series of all these different things, all these different aspects of strength, and steel bar bending was on that. As far as like what really got me into it though, like wanting to do it myself, was getting hold of a Iron Mind catalog and seeing the grippers, seeing the bending certs, and seeing that, oh, there's this historical feats, and that kind of put me, I was already kind of on the track of looking into like the old school lifting stuff by then, but that just kind of set me on the path of like wanting to learn more about historic feats and steel bending and what some of these old time strongmen did, and just kind of moved beyond just the idea of like, oh, here's a bar I can get at a hardware store, but actually trying to figure out like, okay, how do I progress to a 60D, a 70D, all that. So as far as when, I would say like when I was really little, I would probably be like around 8 years old or so when I saw like the World's Strongest Man stuff. As far as like getting into it with seeing other people like do it competitively or, you know, for certs, that's when I was around like 16 years old. And that's when I really started.
Nice. So take me through your athletic background. Were you starting to like play sports and lift weights that early when you saw Strongest Man, or what was that like?
Yeah, I did start. I kind of messed around with this aerobic weight set that like I think it was belonged to like my mom or my brother. I think it was, you know, one that is like 3, 5, and 10 sets is common, you know, long ago. Now people have more elaborate stuff in the home gym, but I started just lifting on that. Didn't really know what I was doing, but I just knew that like people did this, people did that, did squats. You know, I was just 8 years old, just doing it because I wanted to get stronger. And then when I was 12 years old, I got a real weight set. So that was like, the 110 pound one you can get with, you know, basic bench and kind of stuff like that. And about a year's worth of training, I kind of outgrew that. And I was always attracted to that stuff because, like, I knew I was strong. Like, I knew compared to other kids my age that I was just a strong guy. And I wanted to be able to prove that. I wanted to, you know, strengthen that strength. And that's how I got into football and wrestling. You know, I just thought I was a tough guy and wanted to prove it. And I thought this is a good outlet for it. And I wasn't very good at those sports. I couldn't catch a football. I'm not a very big guy, and you know, I had to like do like linemen stuff because I couldn't handle the ball. I wasn't very good at it. I'm a little bit better at it now than when I was a kid. I wasn't that good. In wrestling, I had athletic induced asthma, so I didn't really have the stamina to stick with it. I remember wrestling this one guy. I got paired with him. I guess he was like a former like state champ or finalist. I guess he didn't make weight. And so that's why I was in like JV wrestling with him. And I guess I had a conversation with him like almost like a year later, just randomly bumped into him. He said I was the strongest guy he ever wrestled. Like he couldn't get anything done on me, even though I was terrible. Like I'm flopping like a fish because I'm out of breath. So I really kind of tortured myself trying to do those types of sports that I wasn't really any good at. But I always liked lifting weights. I liked training. I was one of the few people in the, like, you know, in the high school gym where they're telling you to do the workouts. I'm actually trying to do all of them. A lot of those guys just kind of goof off and pretend that they're doing the weight training regimen that the coach put for them. But I actually wanted to do it. And when I was 16 years old, I got an injury. I cut my thumb up pretty bad. And so that ended my sophomore year of wrestling season. And so I realized from there that, you know, I'm done with those kinds of sports. Maybe I can look into doing strongman stuff. And that's when I got into the grippers. I was trying to do more just weight training for the sake of weight training, looking to do a strongman contest. And I fell in with the Iron Mind stuff, the grippers and specific grip training. And I was like, oh man, I really like this stuff. I just wanted to get strong in the strongest sense possible. So I really just kind of had this, always had this concept of what is strength? What does it mean to be the strongest you can be? What does it mean to be the strongest person alive? And steel bending was always a part of that to me, because I always, one of my things I think of is like, it's not very impressive if you can deadlift, say, 400 pounds, but then there's a rock in the field that weighs 200 pounds and you can't lift that. I think that's not good. I don't think your training's, and you're not that strong if you're only strong in this controlled environment on this very specific implement. So I didn't want to be like that. I wanted to broaden my horizons and to a similar analogy. If you consider yourself a really strong guy and you come across a steel bar and, you know, reasonable thickness and you can't budge it, well, you don't seem that strong to me. So I always thought that steel bending was an important part of being able to demonstrate, you know, true strength. And yeah, that's kind of why I really liked it. And it's unique. It has its own appeal to it. And it's really a spectacle too. People are always impressed about bending steel. It's one of these materials that in the minds of people, it's not supposed to bend. It's not supposed to break. It's one of these supposed to be this kind of somewhat indestructible material. And it just captures the imagination, I think, in a way that a lot of other things don't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It just depends what you're bending. Because if you bend a 6-inch piece of stainless that is so incredibly difficult, they're going to, you know, the regular layperson is going to think like some bigger piece of hot rolled is way more impressive. You know, it's funny how when you understand it, you have a more respect for what it is. It takes a little knowledge. I love what you said about being strong in all ways. I agree with that 100%. You know, like through my own grappling training and just having exposure to hands-on contact with a lot of different people over many years of grappling, I knew that big traditional lifts didn't necessarily mean you felt strong. Yes, of course, you are strong in the sense of lifting weight off the floor or squatting or whatever, but it didn't always translate. Same with being shredded. It didn't always mean that you were a monster on the mat. You know, and I always was interested in, you know, I've said this many times on the show, but it relates so much to steel bending. Is like the strongest guys, the guys that felt like true monsters, maybe they did some weights and stuff like that, but they were like bricklayers, or, you know, like they worked with their hands. They had that tendon strength that I think is built through, that we're building through steel bending, but are also built through, you know, trades work and stuff like that. So I love the unconventional training. I love what you said about the lifting the stone. You know, it's like Don says a lot, being strong in all angles. You know, it's like that's you know, that's true strength, in my opinion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, it plays into longevity as well, because you want to prevent injuries. You want to kind of be somewhat well-rounded. But I think that the thing that sticks out to me, and one of the reasons why I really love steel bending, is that the people who are like the best steel benders, they don't look like world-class athletes. They look like, you know, they're like the bricklayers, the mechanics or something like that. Somebody who maybe they picked up, if you just saw them by looking at them, you think, okay, they probably could lift a little decent more. They might look stronger than the average person. But you have no idea that they're this world-class athlete, this stronger than somebody, way stronger than somebody twice their size when it comes to bending steel. And I've always, as somebody who's a smaller guy, I guess that's one of the things I always liked about steel bending, old-time strongman, that kind of underestimation that people have. They don't expect that kind of power from somebody that looks like that or who is that size. And I think that's another aspect of why I like it too, is that it's not, I used to, you know, do like a strongman. I actually do still train strongman. I have this shirt on from this last strongman contest that I did. And really it's that's a sport for big guys. Like, yeah, I'm in the lightweight division, whatever, you know, nobody cares about the lightweight strongman really. But, you know, people associate strength with being big, and a lot of the lifts and way they're done is that, you know, the bigger you are, it helps, even if you're just more weight, not necessarily even more muscle. There's some aspects of the lifts, whether it's leverages or just ponderance of how you're moving the implements, it just helps. And so to have this kind of stuff, though, that actually almost hurts you, because you kind of, when you're steel bending, it's not super important, but it could help to be basically as lean as possible, because you have more kind of angles and points on your body to post off of. Whereas if you're the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you have it's spread over a fat thigh or something to bend over, and maybe you can't like maneuver side to side as much. So that's another aspect that I really like about it, is that a person of average physique or, you know, diminutive stature like myself can be an absolute monster.
Yeah. I like that too, for sure. What you weigh, like 175 or something?
Yeah, about 175. I consistently have been around 80 kilograms around that. So I use, I'm in the 83 kilogram weight class for grip contest, and then there's so Grip Sport National, and there's Arm Lifting USA. They go by tens. So I've cut weight to get down to 80 and basically maintain that. So right around 80 kilograms is where I'm at.
Gotcha.
I'm looking pretty lean because of that. I used to hover a little bit high around 180, but now I'm around 176 or so.
Yeah. What are you, 5'7", 5'8"?
Actually, no, I'm 5'5", if you're rounding up, so, not that tall.
Yeah, similar size to me. I'm like 5'7", and when I'm grappling, I'm like 155, during the quarantine and just strict lifting, I've definitely blown up another 10 pounds or something like that, but I totally identify with being a smaller guy and taking pride and being strong at that weight. You know, there's just something that feels cool about it, you know, like, I hadn't thought about the sharper angles on the leaner body with the steel bending, but that makes sense for sure.
Yeah, that's something I think I talked about with when I was at the Strongman University. I think Chris Wondershook brought that up. And it made sense. I mean, he's a pretty wiry guy. And he can get into those positions like that. So it was interesting to watch him bend. But it made sense to me. And something that I kind of learned early on too, as far as bending, is that you wanted to, if you're posting on your bend, you want to do it like right here. Your first instinct is probably to do it in the most padded spot. So probably an amateur doesn't know what they're doing, probably do it right across the middle of their thigh. Well, that kind of spreads the bend out more like this. If you do it in that upper part, you're going to get more like this. So yeah. I already kind of had an idea of the concept he was talking about for that mention, but he crystallizes it for me.
Cool. On the topic of, being a smaller guy, you just, a couple months ago, took down the Goliath bar, correct?
Yep. So I have an example. So unfortunately, my Goliath bar, they actually bent. I'm using that as a trophy on my desk at work. And it would be kind of a pain to bring it back and forth, but this is an example of a previous attempt. Actually, I have them all here. So this, let me put them all together. So over the course of, I'd say the past year, I'd worked on a number of different attempts. These are my Goliath bar attempts, ultimately culminating and finishing it to parallel. But yeah, so that was probably my most, that's probably the biggest feat I've done as far as prestige or rarity or something like that, especially for my size. So I, when I do these bends, I weigh myself usually for eight to be in the 83 kilogram weight class. Not necessarily that competitive in the open weight class, but I'm in the World of Grip Steel Shredder Series rankings. I'm number one for 83 kilogram weight class, and I have some records, some feats for those bends at that weight class. But yeah, so another thing to kind of point out too is that each time I failed on these bars, I used them as a training implement. So I realized, okay, well, this angle here, that's a sticking point. Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to just wrench on this point over and over again. And these are, it's hot rolled steel, so it will flex somewhat for you. And so you're getting feedback that you're pulling hard enough. That's something that that pure isometrics, it can be hard for some people that might not have the internal drive to really push themselves. But when you have something that will actually flex, how much it's flexing lets you know, are you really doing something? Are you doing more than you did before? I could never get these to really bend much more than that. They work hard into these positions, so it's much harder to overcome. So that was good. For that, it was kind of just the right amount of strength for what I needed to push through.
Man, that's great. Just the name alone, you know, is like makes you want to try to take a run at it.
Yeah, it was, and that's what I decided when I realized that there were all these kind of certification bends. I was just like, oh, I got to do this. I got to find something that I can do that I really want to. Just kind of make my mark. And I think that's something that I when I got into just why I do some of the stuff that I do, is that I always pictured myself, I always understood myself as being somebody who was pretty strong. And I just wanted to develop that to the best of my ability. And so what I do, like performance shows, like Old Time Strongman, you know, I do
nice.
The whole routine. And I've been doing that for a while. I've gotten a lot better at it, obviously. But I always thought that I wanted to in some way show that I could be the best at something. And maybe that best thing is being the strongest 83 kilogram weight class steel bender. Seems to be what I have going on so far. The grip stuff I'm pretty good at too. But yeah, I want, for my own satisfaction, I kind of wanted to just be the best at something strength. And I'm always, whenever I see like a feat, whether it's like it might be like a body weight feat of strength. So something that I did that was really tough is like the flagpole. You can angle yourself
a lot. Yep.
But I think whenever I see something like that, and like for now, I'm working on the front lever. That one's really hard. Then like the planche push-ups, all these kind of things. So whenever I see a feat or a, you know, cert bar, it's really, to me, it's just like that's another notch on my belt. That's a goal that I want to have. Somebody somewhere said that was an exceptional thing to do, and I see that as something that I want to obtain. And I know for me, like when I do these shows, is that what happens is for a lot of people, when you show something magnificent, something very extraordinary, most people look at that and they say, oh, I could never do that. And that was never an attitude I've had. I've always seen extraordinary things done by people. And I say, I want to do that, and I think I can.
Yeah. I really think the same way. It's I always kind of just thought it's just a matter of technique and training, you know, like when I, you know, it's a small example, but I think it's a lot of people's starting place in this world of kind of old time strongman stuff is tear a deck of cards, you know, like when I saw people do that, I wasn't like, oh, I could never do that. I was just like, okay, I got to figure out how to do that. And then I'll figure out my training schedule until I can do it, you know? And it's, that's the way I tackle most of this stuff. And I totally relate to wanting to be the best at a certain marker. I spend a lot of time on David's world record page, kind of scouring it, being like, okay, well, with this level of training, because I'm still relatively new, what can I try to take down on here, you know? But or what's my plan of attack to get on there? So I totally have a similar mindset. So what's a normal week of training looking like for you? I know you do some of the old time kind of like I don't know if you could call them unorthodox lifts, but you don't really see these lifts that you're doing. They look awesome. I discovered Strongman Archaeology from your page. Mm-hmm. Is that a training that you're doing with James directly, or do you guys know each other, or how'd you get started doing that stuff?
We've known each other for a long time just through the internet. I've never met him. If I make it out to Maine, I would definitely want to meet up with him. But we used to be, I think there was some forum a long time ago that was devoted to like old time training methods and stuff. And he was there, and you know, I found him, you know, on Instagram, Facebook and stuff, connected when those became more popular. So we've kind of gone back and forth on that a lot. He's obviously the expert. I'm more of a, I've studied it a lot when I was getting into doing training. So I should say too, like when I first started out, I would say I probably spread myself a little too thin as far as I just wanted to try to do everything. But one of the things that I did come across was like the old time, you know, weightlifting stuff. And for those that don't know, kind of like it's called like the antebellum era, pre-World War I, weightlifting, organized weightlifting was starting to become a thing. And there was like 44 different lifts. There was, it was just nuts how many different types of things there were. And weightlifting as a sport was kind of done to standardize feats of strength, because, you know, other strongmen would go around and saying like, oh, well, I have this custom bar that I can lift over my head. And the idea is that like if somebody were to just pick it up, they'd never seen the implement before, they can't do it. So the idea was to kind of, you know, make something universal that strength could be kind of quantified across things. And what they came up with was this huge, weird, archaic list of 44 different lists, but they're all really interesting. And that's what I got into, is wanting to do and study the methods of the old timers, because I'm really into, you know, natural lifting. And you see a lot of stuff out there, and it's pretty obvious who's on the juice. And that's not something that I agree with. I understand why people do it. You know, there's the motivation. Some people don't have problems with that. And if they want to, you know, I can't stop them. But I always thought that I was just much more interested in what did these people do without what we have today. And I feel like in a lot of ways, they were able to do more with having less. You know, they didn't have the same nutrition advice, they didn't have the same equipment. Bench press wasn't a thing because they didn't have benches. So I really kind of fell in love with that, and I've always done that. So I split kind of my training between steel bending, grip work, some conventional strongman stuff, and all around weightlifting. So all around weightlifting, that's called. And a lot of those old esoteric lists that sort of practiced by all around weightlifting. I've done one contest before. It's been probably about over 10 years now, but I would like to at some point start doing more all-around lifting competitions. That's where you see some of the stuff like the bent press, the Scott lift, that's a good one, the Kelly snatch. And I get all these, a lot of these ideas I get to do from James at Strongman Archaeology. He had some really great resources, and we sometimes bounce ideas back on form and stuff. And I think it's really, I would say, for somebody who just wants to stay in shape and stay mobile, all around weightlifting is a really good way to keep it fun and work those multifaceted angles of strength like we talked about. As far as a typical training week for me, I always, I would say for what I've come up with is I kind of divide my workouts into what I would call lower body, upper body push, and upper body pull. That's kind of how I usually divide them up. And I'm a low volume trainer. I always, one of the things that I found when I was young is that when I look at all these books, most of all that was available was like bodybuilding literature. And the volume of sets and reps that they have these people do and they recommended, it was just ridiculous. You know, you'd do like, it would be like six sets of 12 or something on squats. And then you did six sets of 12 on leg press. And then you had to do leg extensions. And then you had to do hamstring curls. And I always found it's like, well, after the first set of whatever works that same muscle group, right? I mean, not first set, but first exercise, you know, doing the full set. I mean, the rest of it just sucks. Like, I can't do anything. I'm so tired. I'm not making any progress. And so I realized part of that was, though, too, a lot of these bodybuilding workouts that you see read in magazines, like, wow, those guys are on, you know, more drugs than a freaking racehorse. So, of course, they can kind of keep up with those types of regimens, but I couldn't. And so I really just focus on doing one main, I base my workout usually on one main compound movement. That's usually some variant. For lower body, it would be like a variant of the squat or a variant of the deadlift. What I'm working on now actively is Zercher deadlifts off the floor. So crook your arms up. And I want to get to 350 with that. And then when I reach, so I base it on a goal. Once I reach that goal weight, then I move along to something else. So like the last major cycle I did to reach a goal was I squatted 450 pounds, and that was like 2.5 times my body weight. So that was the goal that I worked up to. Before that, it was one arm deadlifts, and I got up to 450 on that. Yeah. so that was pretty insane. That was pretty cool. My initial idea was to do like 2.5 times my body weight and hit 435, but I tried for 450 and I got it. So that's typically how I work. So as far as like upper body, a lot of it's steel bending for upper body, whether that's upper body pull or push. So push would be like press, you know, dips. Dips is kind of a little different because you're getting some of the lats and stuff in there too, but a pull day would be like working front levers. Trying to think would be another thing. So like rows or something like that. I try to train for like one arm pull ups. That was something I chased for a while and I had injuries. I still try to do kind of similar things. But yeah, so one big compound movement. If it's not steel bending, pushing on something, it's usually some kind of press or, like I said, pull like that. And then there'll be some kind of accessory lift. Maybe that's ab workout, just some kind of stability lift, something for fun, for conditioning. That would be like maybe like a Kelly snatch or something like that. And then there's usually another grip lift that I throw in there. I mean, you're basically constantly working grip, but there's all different ways to move your wrist. There's some way to do that. And I'm throwing that in there. And so basically I'm always working on whatever's not tired. And I would say though too, is that I don't try to do things that overlap. I'm not working the same exercise, the same muscle. I'm not working exercises that work the same muscle usually within a workout. Because I feel like you get it all in line on one round of sets and then be done with it. Otherwise you're just making yourself tired. And I think that's a problem that a lot of people have, is that they feel like they have to hit a certain amount of volume in order to make the workout feel worth it. But in my experience, I start light, I do my working sets, and then maybe I try for, if I'm feeling good, try for reaching above that, you know, maybe, you know, somewhere near the max, maybe that's a triple, maybe that's trying to do more than I did before because I'm feeling strong. And then I'm done with it. I don't see the point in training to make yourself more tired when your goal is strength. So I don't really find a lot of value in just doing reps for the sake of reps. So.
Great. How many days are you back?
Usually it probably amounts to like 2 per week, maybe more. So there's some stuff where I might do that might be a little easier. One thing I found for sure, though, is that even if you're doing an easy day the next day, never train steel bending 2 days in a row. Like even if I'm working on some easy piece to, of like stuff that I use to make like art and stuff, even it's not usually super taxing. Even that, like I feel that in my wrist if I'm doing that the day after a really serious steel bending workout. So steel, like I said, steel bending usually occupies, I'd say, most of my upper body workouts these days. So it's usually, but at the same time, not all of them necessarily, because the steel bending, it's hard to do a lot per week. So it's probably closer to 2, I would say. Maybe it's like 2.5. I don't go by necessarily a week schedule. Like I said, it's whatever is not tired. So yeah. It kind of just 1 week bleeds into the other as far as like when I feel like I'm ready. There's no like Mondays leg day. I don't do that kind of stuff. I feel like I'm at the level of experience with training. I've been doing this more than I haven't been in my life, that I'm comfortable with how well I'm able to motivate myself and how much I know about what I'm doing to accomplish my goals. And I'm very intuition based on that. Now, is that something that a beginner can do and expect results? Probably not. But that's how I like to do it.
What about, you do anything special for that?
Oh, what was that? I think it cut out.
Recovery. What's your process?
Oh, yeah. So as far as recovery, I do a lot more of it for warm-ups, but I do rubber bands, like extensor work. In that reverse curls and stuff like that. So a lot of extensor work, I would say, lateral movements with the fingers and stuff like that. I do that to make sure I'm in balance and so that I don't try to prevent injuries and stuff. A lot of times I'll just, if I'm really just exhausted, I'll do a light day and that throw in some kind of like mobility lift, one of those old time lifts like that. I like to do that on off days. As far as like recovery, the thing that I've found that's the most effective really is massage therapy. So every so often, like when stuff starts to feel tight, I'll try to get a massage, and I'll do things too for myself. Like I recently got one of these like Theracanes, like, you know, those like hook things that they put on. I got that recently, but I also use like a lacrosse ball. That's a pretty good consistency. You can use that to kind of push against the wall and push on some of these places and relieve the tension. The best relief I've ever got was this guy that used to work on me. He did trigger point massage therapy, and basically he said like he'd feel around areas where the texture of your muscle was off, and he'd just dig on it, and then it, you know, it hurt really bad. But when you pressed on it enough, your body would eventually relax, and that's what I try to do for myself in the areas that I can reach, is to let that ease up. It's harder to do on yourself; it's not as effective, but it can help you in between those time points before you do maybe get some active therapy. But that's been the thing that I've found helps the most. I do stuff like kind of like Indian clubs, mace training. I try to do that for mobility and blood flow and things like that. And I do try to stretch, maintain mobility. I've noticed that when I neglect that, I start to get tired. So I've been more conscious of that lately. But usually for me, like the most thing for recovery is just stop, just take a day off, take multiple days. I've seen with heavy training, you need more rest. So most people, the conventional wisdom is like, oh, you need, you know, 48 hours. Really with heavier stuff, if you're pushing your limits, you're maxing out. And most steel bending is a max effort, I would say. You really need closer to 72 hours of recovery. So, and for some people, their mindset, they're a little too gung-ho, and they just want to do this stuff all the time, and they wear themselves out. So I think the biggest thing is give yourself enough rest, and don't be so overeager to get back into the steel bed.
That's bad.
Part of it, though, is that what we talked about with the tendons and stuff, you're stressing your tendons and your bones. Those tissues take a lot longer to renew and grow. Your muscle is a highly vascular tissue. It can regenerate itself very quickly. You're dealing with tissues that have, very little blood flow, and they're mostly extracellular material. They're not even cells.
Yeah. The thing about hitting it too hard, I'm trying to level myself off with that, because I get such a rush out of this, and I'm doing a heavy weight training program as well, and I just I'm still not back to grappling, so without that, I'm just like getting my release from this type of training, and pushing it a little too hard. I got my back is hurt right now because I try three times body weight deadlift, and then I wrecked my hands. You might have seen on the Steel Shredder site trying to snap a horseshoe. And it's, I kind of feel foolish about it, but it comes from a driven and place in me that can be positive. It's just, I'm also not a completely young man anymore either. Gonna be 35 next month, and I gotta learn to give myself those rest days. You know what else too, it's just a little funny side note, is Don recommended I read David Goggins' book, and I don't know if you've read that, but that that'll send you on a tailspin of mental toughness, and if you got a head full of David Goggins and a horseshoe in front of you, you're gonna work it till your hands are bleeding.
Well, and that's a good point you bring up too, especially is it more relevant to like the snapping stuff, but sometimes you give yourself in steel bending and grip, you give yourself some pretty nasty skin injuries too. And so you might be muscle wise ready to train again, but it just doesn't make any sense because of how butchered your hands are. And that speeds up as you get more experience, but yeah, that can sideline you for a bit too, your skin.
Yeah, I knew it was one of those things where it came on, it was like, all right, well, this is already happening. I'm going to try to push through this. I know I'm going to be sidelined for a little bit, but I couldn't even complete the snap. So that's on my list. I have it over there. I'm looking at it. Eventually, I'll get back to it. Now, Robert Najedli was saying that I should maybe start with a fresh shoe because they're really hard to get moving again once they've hardened. But I don't know. We'll see about that, I guess.
Yeah, it depends on I've found with softer metal anyway, obviously stuff work hardens after it's been moved. And I was actually talking to one of my grip guys that I did at one of these contests. And it was a contest about last year or so. And he was saying he works with metal. And he was saying what happens with like work hardening is that it kind of the planes, as far as like how the bonds are together, like the as far as like the structural architecture of the steel, it kind of reforms. And he says it forms, like we said, essentially something like metal glass. Metal glass is an interesting material property, but yeah, basically work hardening, it's a real thing. It can make the steel much tougher than it would be otherwise. But I've found with some things with hot rolled steel anyway, when you bend something and you leave it alone, that can actually help you, that it binds itself maybe a little tighter around that area. And so it might be a little more brittle in that area. So it could help you. Now, obviously, it's going to make it hard, but if you can get it moving, you'll add motion, you'll add heat, and it'll start to get easier. So if you can start it again, maybe it'll help, but yeah, it's going to be tougher.
Are there any particular exercises that you think help steel bending, or do you think to get better at steel bending, you just have to bend more steel?
I think there's some stuff. I would say too, like if somebody's really new to it, I think there's value in building up your base strength. So for instance, here I got my sledgehammer and stuff. So if somebody's new to steel bending and they don't have a really strong background in conventional lifting, I definitely recommend, you know, the kind of wrist levering, you know, for front levers, the back, and then, you know, the side to side. Not that I think that these have a ton of carryover to steel bending, and that has more to do with kind of maybe isometric nature to it. But I do think it is important to build that base strength training for people that aren't as experienced, if they haven't done anything like it before. I definitely, steel bending is a very specific type of strength. And it's definitely more advanced than just picking up weights and doing, you know, 3 sets of 10 and stuff like that. So that's something I recommend. As far as things that help, a really good warm up I would like to do. If I'm not snapping's usually, I think, the best warm up for steel bending. But another one is I would like is mace swinging. So any sledgehammer and stuff can be, you know, used as a mace, essentially. It's not as nice, but this kind of motion, I'm trying not to break out my lamp, but these kind of things, it works, you know, the tricep, the bicep here, as you're pulling, and this stuff here. So you can kind of do that to a similar motion with club bells, obviously, and you can do the one arm motion here like that. I think that's really good for maintaining mobility and warming up those muscles. I think though too, especially if you're going to do the long bars, the bigger stuff, you're going to want to work your base level of strength as well. So one of the reasons, like how I would, in the demo video I show, like how I like to brace against my leg and stuff like that, I have a lot of power like that because my deadlift is really high. I don't think I don't see that as a barrier getting the bar started, because I know my back strength is so tough, and I built that doing that. The other thing I would say, a good accessory to steel bending is going to be heavy partials. So those are things that those big compound movements, so partial squats, partial deadlifts, you're taxing your tendons more because you're lifting more weight in an advanced leverage position. So your leverage is better, so you can lift more weight, but that also increases the load and the total tension you're putting on yourself, and that's where you're taxing your tendons. Essentially, you've given yourself a leverage advantage so that the muscle isn't the limiting factor. I mean, it sort of is from motor standpoint and all that stuff, but your stressor is on those structures. So you want to, I would definitely advocate on those days you're working conventional stuff, throw in some partials and some support work, heavy support work like that, and that's going to build your bones and your tendons up, which is going to help you with the resilience that you need to be able to pull more on the steel bars. The other thing I would say that I do purposefully in my other conventional training is I try to mimic the strength mechanics, or to say the strength dynamics that I need in steel bending. So what I mean by that is, say you're doing like a press or something like that, or maybe it's curls. With steel bending, you're trying to go from 0 to 110% as fast as possible. You're not moving a lot, but you're trying to develop that tension to maximum. So what I try to do with that is, let's just go with like a curl. I want to go from 0 to 100. So I don't want to do this and bounce it and move a lot. I mean, some people, that's probably good. You want to be able to do a lot of volume. That's the way to do it. Maybe you want to take advantage of the elastic tension in your tendons. Fine, that's a different goal. But for me, I think what's more valuable is to take a lift like that and just stop dead, and then try, you know, go as hard as you can. Not obviously not whipping yourself, but you know, as fast and as hard as you can, and then go all the way to zero. And the power rack's a good way to train that. So when I would do, if you would, like a good way to do that with like bench or like squat is set the bar on the pins and then lift it. So I would, the last time I was training for squats, I did a lot of off the pins training where I would put the bar as low as I could, then I'd get under it, I would squat up and then completely set it down and then do it again. So, because I want to work the kinetics of 0 to 100 as fast as possible. And if you are not setting the weight down, you're storing energy in your tendons, you're using some level of momentum, you just can't help it, even if you are like one of these like doing like pause squats or something. So that's a way that I incorporate, or I'm mindful of how I train for steel bending and conventional lifts.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense. How about, I like to turn the question for people, and I get a lot of different answers like this, is in what ways have you seen strength increases that you attribute to steel bending?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I definitely would say, just when I grab a hold of something, like you just feel like, man, I could really just torque the hell out of this thing. I messed it up. Because you feel like you just have these spindly cables in your arms now. They're just ready to go. It's hard to, as far as like other types of training, I would say like when I do like the strongman training and stuff, might not have transferred too much because there's a lot of running. You're running while carrying heavy stuff. There's a lot of cardio in that. And that's kind of specific. I don't think it translates as well other than like the base strength level that I do. But yeah, definitely stuff with hands and wrists. Certainly if you were to, you know, grapple with somebody, I think for sure I noticed a lot of that. When I did wrestling, I was not a very fun partner to be with because there was a lot of things that you were supposed to be able to utilize to get out, but I wouldn't let people do them. I could be too rigid. I could hold. I remember this one time, there was some hold like I had on this guy. His head and his leg in a hole. I think it was like, as they call it, like a side headlock or something. And normally somebody probably could break out of that if they were, you know, pushing with their legs hard enough and arching, but my arms were stronger than his entire body. So so I feel like in those tight positions, kind of like that, like, you know, like here and here, I feel very strong. Like I could just like, you just rip somebody's head off. But I'm not like super gung-ho about that kind of stuff as far as like, oh, that's what I do, I could kick your ass. And I don't like to get into that machismo stuff. That's not really what it's for or what it's about, but you do kind of feel a rush like that. And as far as it's feeling strength in other areas, I don't know too much. I would say that I think it definitely carries over into the kind of like farm strength when you're like wrenching on something, definitely helps. In fact, I try to be very careful about that. I try to be careful about not over tightening stuff. I will say a recent example, a friend of mine at work, we needed, he had a jar of something. It was this material that we had in for samples and it was stuck. It was some kind of viscous stuff used for like making base for like skincare. And he couldn't get it to open. And so I'm grabbing this jar and turning it. And the jar itself, it's plastic, is starting to twist before it's coming out. So I was able to just wrench this thing off just because I have all that strength there. And it wasn't too terribly taxing on me either. Sometimes that stuff can mess up. You got to be careful about what you just jump into and go all out on. So I try to temper it first.
Definitely. So what about goals? We got the you did the Goliath, you also just did what's that one called, the Man Killer?
Yeah, I did the Man Killer Snap. That was the Man Killer was something that when I first heard about it, I was just like, man, like I don't think I could do that. But like, it just seems so far off from what I was. But now that I built up a lot of stamina from snapping, it seems like the sky's the limit. Now I feel like almost as if I could bend something, eventually I can break it. I feel like that. Maybe not the Goliath bar, but most other things. So I'm interested in doing the Wonder Bar, something that Don mentioned here. I'll show, this is my most recent effort on that. This is the same dimensions, but this is actually a little longer. This is just a piece that I found that matched the width, the cross section at a store. Figured I'd give it a try. So this is 40 inches. I just got a dent in it. So it was tougher than I thought it would be. And like I said, this is 36, I should say. So the 30 inch would be sort of like this with my right hand. So yeah, that's tough. I got a little ways to go. But what I think would be a good intermittent goal is what's called like a headless Goliath bar. So that's cut a little bit. There's no specific way. So I think I'm going to try either like 44 or 42 inches on a Goliath bar. I think that's going to be a good stepping stone. The Goliath bar, it's different dimensions. It's a 1.5. Right. Yeah, it's 1.5 by 1/2 inch. This is 2 by 3/8. So the cross section area is the same, but dimensions are slightly. So if I can work towards getting a Goliath bar shorter, then that should, in theory, translate to the same strength required to bend this thing. Some other things I had in mind, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Those are the main things. I do want to do more stuff. I think the ultimate thing would be is if I could match Don's five grade or three grade fives. That would be cool. I would like to do that. But other than that, maybe another thing that I had, I'll grab it over here, that I want to be able to do is there's a cert kind of feat for that is to bend this 183 K-bar one-handed. So when I saw the feat, I thought like, okay, I could probably do that. But when I got this bar and I saw how tough this would be, I realized I got to train a little bit more for that. The hardest part being getting it closed at the finish here. I've done some bars that were like kind of flared out a little bit like this, but to get it here, I got to work on that a little bit more if I'm going to do this one-handed. But I'm always, it's hard to say. I'm always, and I should say too, I'm working on horseshoe bends as well. I have one here, I think. Yeah, not that one. Sorry, I should have. Here we go. So this is probably my goal. This is my goal shoe for now. It is a SSP number 3. I think that's a Kierkegaard. Wow. So this is the one I'm kind of chasing right now. Haven't really been able to move it too much, but I'm moving horseshoes that I haven't moved before. So it's just a matter of time. So.
Nice. All right, well, we're winding down here, so it's time for the medley. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, favorite thing to bend?
Soft metal. So hot rolled steel, and that's because it's always going to be more impressive if you have a thicker bar of the same strength. Obviously, in the competitive steel band, we all know what's what. But the spectacle to other people, a bigger bar, looks more impressive. But I also like the way it feels while you're bending it a lot more, because with softer metal, when you are laying into it, when you are getting it to move, that does translate into movement in the bar. When the bar is hard, it will flex a lot, and that can be very frustrating as far as you understanding the progress you're actually making in the bar. So soft metal is what I like.
All right, hardest thing to bend for you?
The hardest thing for me is it's actually a double overhand. So just the shorter stuff, unbraced. I never felt comfortable with starting a bar here, just the way it felt on my shoulders. I didn't like it. So all the bending I've worked up to a red nail, with this, I would bend it reverse, kink it, and it would be bent in a little bit, and then I felt good, and then I would crush it like that. But yeah, doing short stuff, unbraced, double overhand style, it doesn't feel good.
All right. What's your strongest bending style? Would that be the mid bar braced, or?
Yeah, I would say probably the mid bar. So when you start getting into, you know, the 20s, 30s, and stuff like that, that's probably, I think, where I feel the most comfortable. The long bars, like the Goliath, obviously you have kind of a lot of the similar things, but it gets to a point though where the bars are so long. Now you have challenges of like reach, like, you know, now it's how do you overcome this angle, this position when you're barely able to extend your arms that far. So that's really the main difference, I would say, between the two. I like them both, but you don't necessarily have those more inconvenient moments with long bars, or I mean with the medium bars.
About something outside of weightlifting, training, and bending that you enjoy doing?
I play a lot of games on my computer. I also like to try to maintain a garden. And I cook. I'm becoming an amateur mixologist, I'd say. So all those kinds of things I really enjoy.
Awesome. Cooking is a big one. A lot of guys say cooking for this one. It's I enjoy cooking too. It's cool. How about, what's the one bend that's got away so far?
Oh, the one bend that's gotten away. I would probably say all the horseshoes that I failed because I was thinking that I was ready for them and not being anywhere close. Actually, I would say if I were to say the thing that comes to my mind, and I think I have one here, is this, the 10 inch wrench. I haven't quite been able to do that. I've gotten banana bends into multiple ones, but being able to finish it off, I just haven't done it yet. I'd like to.
I gotta show you mine. Hold on one sec. Similar nice. Deal. the 6 and the 8, I was able to complete those, but this 10, man, I don't know. I can get a kink in it, but that's it. And the way Don handled it on the tip video was something to see.
Yeah, he made it look pretty soft by comparison.
All right, here's an interesting one. Who's the strongest person you know? It doesn't have to be about steel bending at all.
Ooh, strongest person I know. As far as I would say, the people that come to my mind when I think about that are probably like my grandparents. So my grandpa and my grandma on my mom's side and my grandma on my dad's side, you know, they grew up in the Depression era. Had really hard lives as far as like what happened to their families, what they were able to build for their families with the, you know, meager amount of income that they did have. So I just admired those people as far as somebody that were able to make a decent life for themselves and their children, having gone through just some really unimaginably hard circumstances.
Good answer. Right, and lastly, what's the funniest reaction you get when people find out you spend your time bending steel?
I'm trying to think, and most of it's kind of like, just like, what? Like, I'd say more of like they have that kind of instant reaction of like, did I hear what you actually said? Like, I'm like, yeah, here, Australia. And usually, like, if it's at work or something, I have like my stuff, or if it's at a party, you know, I can show on my phone. So I think it's really just the whole thing where somebody, you get that instant reaction where people are just like, I heard that, but I don't think that was possible for somebody to say that. So let me reiterate what you just said.
Yeah, I had a blast explaining my whole deal. I recently put in an order at a local steel yard, which was pleasantly so much more economical than other ways. And these guys were like, what are you going to do with this? I was like, oh, you're not going to believe it, but I'm going to bend it for a workout pretty much. And I love this so much, I have a podcast about it. And they looked it up on their phone and they're like, holy shit, you do. And I was like, yeah, I wish I had a little piece in the car or I'd show you. But it's just a funny thing, you know? And it's like, then I got into explaining, you know, how there's a technique to it and stuff. So I'm sure I'll be seeing these guys a lot. So maybe they'll start bending.
Yeah. No, I definitely have that conversation with people at the hardware store too.
Yeah. All right. In closing, who's someone you'd like to see on the show?
Well, some of the guys, it sounds like you already covered, like Robert Njedli. Don Cummings is a big one that I really wanted to see. He mentioned, John Brookfield doing some of those original feats. He would be a good one. Somebody that, we talked about some of these old-time lifts and some of these old-time strongmen. If you wanted to get more into kind of like the training of what those guys did, James Fuller, he might be a good person to bring on. He's not really a steel bender, but he could give you some insight into how did these guys train? Where did steel bending fit into their weightlifting, their grappling, the wrestling, and stuff like that? So he could be a good resource for that if that's something you wanted to explore. I would say too, like some of those performing strongmen, like that Don mentioned. So, Dennis Rogers, Chris Wondershook, that whole documentary on bending steel. That he bent that wonder bar. It was a pretty remarkable story. So yeah, all those guys. Like I said, a lot of the ones that came to my mind, I think you've already had them on. Definitely David Horn. He's kind of like the godfather of the sport right now. But I understand, like, you know, it's harder, easier said than done. Huh? those would all be great guests to have. The biggest thing is, I'd say a big thing is, more of those tip videos, everybody sharing their perspective on how they like to do things. Seeing more of those, I think everyone's really going to enjoy it.
As far as James Fuller goes, I've sort of been grappling with that idea in my mind. Is he's definitely someone I'd want to have on, but I'm thinking maybe for this first season, which I don't have a goal in mind of like when I'll end this and call it season one, is I'll maybe stick to guys that specifically participate in steel bending. And then maybe for season two, so I continue on getting a lot of guests, is I'll do stuff on the periphery of steel bending, maybe get more grip guys on and maybe get the old time lift type of stuff and just open up the parameters a little bit or something. I've been going back and forth in my mind about that, and I guess I'll have to like poll people and see what they think, but I think people would get a lot out of hearing from him.
One thing, like I know in the Don's podcast you mentioned, you asked him about like nutrition. Like I have a PhD in nutrition. That's my job, is actually researching supplements and stuff. So, I mean, we could probably do a whole hour on, supplements related to what might help you with bending, that recovery, inflammation, stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm open to doing that kind of stuff, too. And I think that periphery stuff would be neat to throw in every now and then, certainly a resource for people that want to get better.
Yeah, that's great. I'd like to do that for sure, because I was just speaking to somebody last night, and nutrition is a science, and it's like I certainly am like a complete white belt in it, and I don't think I eat poorly, but it's like I don't understand the science of it, and I'd like to know more about it for sure, because it is a key component, no doubt. How about tips and advice for beginner benders?
I covered a little bit as far as about, you know, like don't dive in too hard, you know, build up that base strength in your wrist. I would say definitely, you know, I'd say the biggest thing probably is don't do something just to do it. Don't do something just because you saw somebody do it and you feel like I have to do that in order to be successful. So like I saw double overhand bending and it didn't feel good for me. So I didn't like, you know, force a square peg in a round hole. Not all these movements are going to be strong suits for you. They're not necessarily going to work with your leverage. Definitely know what they are, give them a try, but don't think just because this top person uses this technique all the time for these bars or for this way, that means you have to do that to be successful. So don't you want to explore things, but don't fight your body.
Nice. Good advice. All right. Where can people find you on social media and stuff if you want to be found?
So, yeah. So there's a couple of spots. So on Instagram, that's my main thing. I have a Home Gym Hero. It's kind of my training page. I also have a Instagram account and an Etsy store for Magnanimous Metals. So this is an example of some of the artwork that I do, scroll work. With steel bending, and I turn that into art that I sell. Even if you aren't interested in buying the stuff, I would say check it out. People seem to really like the stuff. So that's Magnanimous_Metals, I think is the Instagram one. And the store is like separated by a dot. So Home Gym Hero and Magnanimous Metals on Instagram. My Facebook page is really just, you know, for personal stuff. I post the videos and things in groups and stuff, but Instagram's where to reach out for me if you want to, you know, talk about training and stuff like that and just see what I'm up to. So.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been getting into a little bit of the scrolling too, and I really like it, man. I've always been somewhat of an artistic guy and with drawing and different things my whole life and music and whatever. So the scrolling is cool and a cool way to tie it all together.
Yeah, and as I was mentioning before, like one of my favorite things is soft metal. So like when you have trained up and you have something that's an easy thing, like this is just like 1/8 by half inch here, there's something about it that feels really fun and creative when you can just lay into a piece, like it's easy for you. And so before, like with something like a Goliath bar, just getting into that U is the goal. But once you get a hold of an easier piece, now you're starting to think, oh, well, maybe I could make an M, maybe, you know, I could make an L or something like that, make letters or some funky shapes. It's really just fun to just go crazy on a really weak piece of metal. It's comparatively weak. An untrained person probably would have a hard time, but if you're built up your strength enough, you can make some really interesting stuff.
It's awesome. Fun. Any events, brands, or gear you want to give a shout out to?
I'd say that one of the main things that I get Gil on the podcast is a Barrel Strength System. I really like his stuff. I bought most of his things. Fat Bastard Barbell Company, they sell, you know, their steel that they have. World of Grip, obviously, sells like the rated steel for the certs and things like that. I buy a lot of my horseshoes for Stock Off's horseshoe supply. So they sell that at pretty good rates and they ship all over. So I think that's a good resource for that. Trying to think as far as like other gear and stuff. Those are the things that come to my mind. I think that's it.
Awesome. All right, Michael, well, that's the end. I really appreciate you coming on. It's been a blast talking to you, and we'll definitely do this again down the line.
Yeah, it was great. I had a lot of fun doing it. So, yeah, I hope to see more people and hope to see this thing grow. So,
all right, man. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.